You're listening to the Ministry Grow Show, brought to you by Reliant Creative, the creative agency for gospel-centered ministries. Find out more at reliantcreative.org.
Welcome to the Ministry Grow Show, a podcast dedicated to helping churches and ministries grow and make more effective impacts for the kingdom of God in an ever-changing digital world. Whether you're building and growing a gospel-centered ministry or leading a church, if you want insight into the strategies, struggles, challenges, and successes of other ministry leaders, you've come to the right place. Welcome back to the Ministry Growth Show. Today on the show, I'm going to be talking with Mark Loy. He's the co-founder and CCO of Answers in Genesis. Mark, thanks for being on the show.
Well, Zach, we appreciate the opportunity, and I hope what we discuss here in the next 20, 25 minutes might be relevant to your listeners.
Yeah, I'm excited to have you on. I've consumed a lot of your content. We use a lot of it for teaching our own kids, and so I'm just excited to have you guys on. Can you tell us a little bit about Answers in Genesis? Why do you exist? What's the story to the founding of this organization?
Well, Answers in Genesis is what's called an apologetics ministry, and that word may not be familiar to all of your listeners, but it's a Greek word to give a defense, an apologetic for the Christian faith, and that's needed more than ever because the Bible is under attack, sometimes from within the church, and of course from the secular world. And I'm privileged to be the co-founder with Ken Ham, a name that might be familiar to many of your listeners, and Mike Zovath, and the three of us founded Answers in Genesis. Genesis is the most attacked book of the 66 books of the Bible, so we focus our attention there. But as you get to know us a little bit better, Zach, it's not just answering people's questions and offering an answer to why is evolution wrong. We're really all about evangelism. And so Answers in Genesis operates two themed attractions here in northern Kentucky that proclaim the gospel, as well as answer people's questions about the authority of the Bible. So we're the ones who operate the Creation Museum near the Cincinnati Airport, and also the Ark Encounter with a 510-foot-long Noah's Ark as its centerpiece. And again, it's all about sharing the gospel.
Mm. Now, when you guys started Answers in Genesis, was Ark Encounter and Creation Museum the original ideas behind the ministry, and that's where you quickly started moving, or was early on, was it something else?
Well, 29 years ago when we started the ministry, we knew we wanted to build, and we believed that God was behind the creation of a creation museum, a walk through history starting in Genesis, but also going through the book of Revelation. That was Ken Ham's dream when he was living in Australia, when he moved across the Pacific to the United States. That dream was with him. And so it took several years to raise $30 million. To build the Creation Museum. And it's very high tech with the planetarium, a 4D theater, animatronics. It's not a boring, stuffy science museum. And it took a while to raise the money, but also find the qualified people to open this museum, which it did in the year 2007. And we've been blessed with, we get about 500,000 people a year now to the Creation Museum. And at the Ark Encounter, and Zach, you might not even be aware, the Ark Encounter is about 40 miles away, south of Cincinnati. And we get over 1 million people at the Ark every year. And the big blessing about that is about 1/3 of those who visit the Ark are not Christians, according to our surveys. They don't go to church. They don't call themselves born again. So the gospel is throughout that ship with videos and displays. So that's maybe 350,000 non-Christians a year visiting the Ark. And I just don't know how many ministries are reaching that many people directly every year. We're just blessed to be to have this gospel opportunity.
Yeah, that's shocking. I would expect those numbers to be a little bit different, but that's really cool.
Well, we have a communication strategy, and I know that's something you want to discuss on this podcast, involving both, you know, involving social media, paid media, earned media. So a combination of those things are getting the word out about the Ark Encounter and Creation Museum. But by far, our number one marketing outreach, if you will, is word of mouth. People come to the Ark and the museum and they see that it's of high quality. It's gospel proclaiming, Bible proclaiming. They go back into their community, Zach, and they tell their pastor, they tell their friends. So I would say most of the guests here today, and we have several thousand, I think they're here mostly because they've heard from a friend, not because they've seen our spots on a variety of television networks. It's the proverbial word of mouth advertising. Mm.
Yeah, how I wanted to get into that a little bit, that communication side of things. How has the ministry effectively used communications and marketing strategies to promote and support this biblical view and communicate it out to your audiences in these different mediums that you talked about, paid, social, earned, and then obviously the word of mouth that's so important?
Yeah. Well, of course, in the last several years, social media has become so important for our messages. And that's everything from, you know, we have our own podcast, a very popular website called answersingenesis.org. It's one of the most visited religious websites in the world. And of course, a very robust, you know, Instagram, Facebook, all of that. I mean, every ministry should be using that free form of advertising. And also there's what's called earned media, where we encourage the media to come here and tour. For example, we had a Swiss journalist come here recently, not representing the Christian media, but we have just about every major media outlet in the world, Zach, has been to either the Creation Museum or Ark Encounter. And that's one of my responsibilities, encouraging media to come visit us and film. And then, of course, there's the paid media, where you'll see our television spots, even on Major League Baseball, the game of the week on Saturdays. We're even now airing our ARC spots on CBS News Sunday morning. So okay. We target those secular venues where we think the people watching might think about coming to the ARC Encounter or the Creation Museum. Mm.
And what are some of the challenges you guys have encountered in effectively communicating the ministry's mission and message to some of these diverse audiences?
Well, the first thing that pops in mind is that there's a lot of people out there, Zach, who don't care for our messages, both from within the church and out the church, outside the church. And they use social media. They use other forms of digital media to try to undermine us. And sometimes they pass around the most ridiculous rumors that are just, you know, you wonder where they get these things. And this includes Christians too, Zach, who think that because we stand up for biblical authority in Genesis in a modern age, they think that we're just kind of backwards and Bible thumpers. And, you know, didn't the Scopes trial teach anything in 1925? So we have to counter things like probably the biggest rumor out there right now is that we use taxpayer dollars from the state of Kentucky to build and open the ARC Encounter. That is still out there. You know, Zach, I don't know how much time I have spent trying to counter that myth. In fact, even on Monday when I was near the ARC, there's that myth out there that we took taxpayer money to build the ARC. And people are thus saying, hey, I'm paying my taxes to build that ARC. And that's not the case at all. In fact, it's the opposite, Zach. With so many people, over a million people coming to the ARC every year, and 92% of them don't even live in the area. So they're staying in hotels. They're eating in restaurants. The sales tax generated by our visitors is pouring into the state treasury. As a result, people's tax burden is lowered. But the myth out there is that it's the opposite, that we're taking money away from the taxpayers. And so that's one of the frustrating things about dealing in the world of social media. Because it's a cesspool sometimes of misinformation. And the things we hear, like Ken Ham was kicked out of Australia. I mean, how does a citizen of Australia get kicked out of his own country? I mean, just that type of ridiculous. But you know what? Some people, even Christians, will call me or write me and say, is this true? And, you know, 99% of the time, what they're hearing is just absolute garbage, to be frank with you. Mm-hmm.
Well, and it's cool to see that you guys are not stepping down or not playing in those spaces just because of that criticism. Like, I think it's important amidst the chaos and amidst the backlash and the myths that we still continue to stand up for truth, obviously doing it compassionately. But that's one of the things that I've appreciated about you guys is that there is not a you're not backing down. Like this is truth. We're going to stand for truth and allow the Bible to be and say what it says.
And Zach, we don't dwell on the criticism. You asked a question, what are some of our challenges? Mm-hmm. And so we rarely engage our critics through our social media. But sometimes there is that rumor out there that circulates that we just feel, you know, we've got to answer it and hope it will nip it in the bud. But no, it's hard to quench rumors. When even some people in the church want to believe those rumors against us because they might want to compromise one way or another on the authority of the Bible.
Mm. Yeah, it's wild. Can you maybe share some specific examples or stories of successful communication campaigns or initiatives that have had maybe a significant impact on spreading the message for the ministry and getting the word out for both your encounters, but also what you're arguing about Genesis, specifically within those encounters?
Well, you know, so many people do come and visit us at the museum and the Ark Encounter, but we do a lot of outreach outside of our four walls, especially with the speaking engagements that we hold. Ken Ham, our founder, is in Australia right now on a speaking tour. Also, we held the famous Bill Nye Ken Ham debate here at the Creation Museum. And I tell you that conservatively, maybe 30 million people watched that debate or portions of it. That wow. really gave us some huge exposure. And the Ark Encounter was about to open within a year or two. And so it got the Ark Encounter on the map in terms of earned media and social media. But many of our campaigns relate to something that might be new at the Ark Encounter or the Creation Museum. We've opened, for example, a virtual reality experience at the Ark where you sit in a small theater and you put on virtual reality goggles. And of course, we use all the standard media resources at our disposal. So if there's something I could leave with your listeners is that don't downplay the importance of social media to get out your message. And also at the same time, by being positive, you have the opportunity to perhaps, you know, with effective communication, those who might not want to listen to you or want to counter you might be less inclined if you're filled with grace and present the truth, but in boldness. And to answer another part of your question about some of the challenges we faced is that we are quite bold in the fact that Genesis teaches what biblical marriage is. Mm-hmm. It also teaches the origin of the people groups. So we get into the topic of racism, very powerfully so. And so some of the hot button issues of the day are addressed by Ken Ham and others, which engage the culture. And guess what? We have been deplatformed. I'm not going to say how or who, but because we stand up for biblical marriage and we fight against racism, we are living in a culture now where there's some forces who do not like our messages. But it's important for us while we're bold in our communications that we're winsome, that we show the love of Christ, and we present the gospel message so that we're not portrayed as some Bible thumpers who are angry and always looking for a fight. That's not who we are.
Yeah. Well, and that's back to the VR or the VR stuff. One of the things that I've not experienced the Ark Encounter or the Creation Museum. I would love to come out there at some point, especially with the kids, but the use of new technologies and new platforms is you guys have done a really good job and kind of paved the way within the ministry space of what this can look like and what the possibilities are when you take advantage of the mediums that exist. I think one of the things that you see argument over within the Christian nonprofit and church space is like, maybe we shouldn't be playing in those spaces or using those technologies because they're dangerous. But I do think that there's opportunity to redeem those platforms and tools and technologies. And that's one of the things that I've appreciated about how you guys behave, is that you use a lot of these new technologies and incorporate them into what you're doing.
Well, Ken Ham, our visionary and the man responsible for getting the museum designed and then built, as well as the Ark Encounter, he's all about using the latest technology. I mean, he probably knows as much about what's available or what's about to be available in technology than most of the leadership team here. A lot of it is, of course, shared with him by our IT department and those people in the high-tech area. But yes, mm-hmm. we have become known for using the latest in technologies, including, for example, we have a brand new planetarium projector. We have planetarium shows at the Creation Museum, and these are Digistar projectors. They're state of the art. The sound is so good. The visuals are so good. I mean, if Christians are going to be building an attraction where they're hoping to attract Christians as well as non-Christians, we have to use the wow technologies of the day. Or children may not be interested in coming. It's the mm-hmm. it's the young people, it's the teens who want to see something that's not just static. You know how you've probably visited some science museums that have a lot of text on the walls and maybe some visuals. No, we're using the technologies of the day. As Ken Ham says, I got to know what's coming in 2 or 3 years so we can start thinking about it now, about how we can use it, like the virtual reality experience and so many other things, like our 4D theater uses the best in 3D film capabilities. I don't want to bore people with details here, but it's not the flimsy 3D glasses that you put on in a theater and see a 3D program. It's something very, very high tech. And people notice that. Young people mm-hmm. know. And they come here and they have fun, but they also learn important biblical truths and the gospel is presented. That's our first and foremost goal, is to share the gospel with our non-Christians. But in today's high technology society, we've got to be at the very, very cutting edge if we're going to be successful.
Mm-hmm. Within the Creation Museum experience and the Ark Encounter, how does storytelling play a role in what you guys are doing there? Like, you talked about some traditional museum type experiences where you show up and everything's just text-based and literacy-based communication versus what it sounds like you guys are doing a lot of is some visual storytelling. Is that a major focus or a DNA ethos, a part of Answers in Genesis, that you guys try to incorporate storytelling in what you're doing in those encounters?
Very, very, very much so, especially more than 20 years ago when we hired a genius. I mean, he's a creative genius. He was working he had worked at places like Universal Studios, very visual. And Ken Ham had some ideas of what he wanted to put inside the Creation Museum and then later the Ark Encounter. It was this man's responsibility to make the teaching points into three-dimensional reality and not with things that are static. So if you come here, you'll see not only a lot of color, but you'll see animatronic dinosaurs that move very, very realistically. We have the different video programs like the planetarium show that is so stirring that when you leave that program, a lot of people come out of there with their tears in their eyes. It's such a moving experience. And the fact that the Creation Museum is a walk through history from Genesis to Revelation, we had to visualize that, and not just with murals on the wall, although we do have some beautiful murals. We want to engage the guests very visually. And even on top of that too, Zach, to engage our audience, we have a lot of lectures, animal programs, so that people are not just walking through a museum and not interacting with the staff. We put a lot of effort into engaging them with lectures, concerts. We have music going on virtually every day at the Ark Encounter. We have a 2,500 seat auditorium there. So we try to build relationships with people as much as you can with someone on the stage or someone doing an animal program. And so it's a very immersive experience, I guess would be a way to put it.
Mm. And then lastly, just to wrap things up, before we move on to Scott Fetzer in this conversation, what would you say to other ministry leaders within the Christian nonprofit and church space, just around communications and storytelling and marketing, and the use of this digital space, this greatest shift in communication in human history that I think we're experiencing? You guys have done some really cool and innovative things. What would you say to some of those other leaders with regards to that kind of communications space?
Well, it's been a seismic change. Even what Facebook is not even 12 years old, but so many things have come on since then. And I encourage people to look into the ministry leaders. Don't be scared of them. And I know Twitter can be used in terrible, terrible ways. Mm. You'd be amazed at the things that are left on Ken Ham's Twitter account. But don't be afraid of them. Use them to share your ministry message. And, you know, we do a lot of radio too. And, you know, people say, oh, radio is kind of old fashioned and isn't podcasting the new wave of the future. And of course it is, as we're just showing this right now, but Christian radio still can be powerful and has a certain segment. That we have a daily radio program called Answers. It's on 1,000 stations. And admittedly, we don't have as many listeners as we might've been 10 or 15 years ago, but we still take that radio program and upload it to social media. So we just use about every technology and avenue available. And again, I'll say it maybe now for the third time, don't discount the importance of social media in getting out your messages, connecting with your own base of supporters, but finding new supporters.
Mm. Yeah, that's good. Well, Mark, thanks so much for being on the show. We really appreciate it. We're going to take a break for our today's sponsor, but when we come back, we'll be talking with Scott Fetzer and continuing our discussion with Answers in Genesis. Are you looking to grow your ministry but don't have the money or marketing knowledge to make that happen? There's good news. Google offers an advertising grant to churches and ministries that is worth $10,000 per month. This means that if your ministry is a 501c3 nonprofit, you are eligible to receive $120,000 per year in free advertising dollars. This allows you to place ads at the top of Google search results pages and drive thousands of visitors to your ministry website every month. Our sponsor, Click Nonprofit, helps your ministry acquire this Google ad grant and then manages your Google ads to ensure you get the most out of the grant. Schedule a free consultation at clicknonprofit.com to learn more about how this grant can help your specific ministry. Mention the Ministry Growth Show when you sign up to get 20% off your first 3 months of management. Welcome back to the Ministry Growth Show. We're coming out of the ad break, and we're going to be talking with Scott Fetzer, the CFO of Answers in Genesis. Scott, thanks so much for being on the show.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks, Zach.
Yeah, as CFO, could you provide maybe some insights into the ministry's financial management and how budgeting plays a crucial role in supporting the organization's mission and goals? You guys are doing some really big, innovative stuff. And so what does that look like from a financial perspective?
Sure, I'd be happy to. Well, first, there's really multiple elements that go into that. And the first I want to stress is the faith element. God has to be a part of everything we do. And I'll probably stress this multiple times throughout the process today, is that everything we do, though, is on a mission first. What's the missional impact of what we do? So again, faith element is first. The human element is second. Where does that come into play? And or at least that's where we come into play. And from a financial standpoint, I've got a great team and we're heavily involved in the day-to-day management. There's lots of controls in place. And again, for us, it's not dependent upon me as an individual. It's really balanced upon my complete team. And that's really key. So from my role, it's primarily strategic involved. I provide a lot of oversight relative to the capital that's allocated to our projects, the cash management, and then the financial integrity of the ministry. The remaining team does the day-to-day accounting activities, and that's what they're really good in. I'm good at more of the strategic side. When you start talking about a budget, and this is especially true at Answers in Genesis, we're looking at it as a tool to figure out what can we do for the next 12 months. And I know that sounds very obvious, but I don't know that everybody does that. We're really looking at that as a projection of performance, and we have to have confidence in that budget is going to, we're going to be able to execute into it. And, you know, prior to AIG, I was with another smaller ministry, and I know of a lot of other ones that they do the budget exercise because they know that they have to do it. But I think it's a tool to help you become successful. It really should be identifying what you're going to be doing at any given time, especially the process, the timing of events. And if you're not using that as the foundation for your decision making, you may be putting your ministry a little bit at risk. And I know people don't like to do budgets, and there's certainly parts of it that when we do it, it gets overbearing, tiresome. But what I really, really enjoy about the budget, it requires us to dig deep into what we're doing. And for me, it's a planning tool for our success. It forces us to understand everything that's going on within the ministry.
Now, within Answers in Genesis, how much of the resources that you're generated are coming from the two experiences that you guys have from paid audiences or people that visit those encounters versus donations? What does that breakdown look like?
Well, without getting into the exact specifics, I would say 7 years ago, before the ARC encounter was involved, that was probably an equal proportion. And clearly, between the two sites, when you have several million guests coming into them, it's going to change that ratio. So the majority of our funding today comes from the attractions, but we would not be successful without the donations coming in. So it's the majority is going to come from the attractions, but the donations play a significant part of what we're doing.
And as you guys plan for the future, what does growth look like, and how are you allocating those financial resources to expand the reach and impact of what you're doing, both from those encounter perspectives, but then also from your digital presence is significant. I mean, you guys, especially what I learned from Mark, you have a significant audience that's consuming content within your website and all your social presences and digital places. What does growth in the next handful of years look like for Answers in Genesis?
Well, if there's one thing that AIG is not short on, that is vision. So it's not even just in the media. It's on what would the next attraction be. But the media, the streaming, we have our own platform from Answers TV, developing content there. We've got our own school that we're investing in. So for us, it's a matter of sitting down and deciding what are we going to do. So you know, in any given year, there's going to be what I'll say smaller projects. So we're going to go through a process where we're identifying through that budget process how many dollars we're going to set aside. But in anything we do, we're going to sit down as a group, at least as a senior team, and discuss what's the best utilization of those funds. And when you start looking at the long-term picture, we do have a process, and we're going through it right now, looking what's going to happen in the next 10 years. Where are those funds going to go? Where are those funds going to come from? How are they going to be generated? But for us, it's, again, what is that missional impact? What would be the best utilization of those funds? And if you were in a business world, you'd be sitting here saying, well, how much revenue can I generate? And that truthfully is not the first question that comes up. The first question is, what's the missional impact? And then I think the second question that often comes up is, what is the guest experience going to be? How can we enhance that? So, Kind of a broad answer there, but we're going to sit down and have regular meetings reviewing what the status of our projects. We're going to sit down and have regular monthly meetings on our master planning, and then we're going to have detailed meetings on what that looks like for the future. And from those meetings, we decide what we're going to invest in and how do we just basically impact the overall mission? How do we stay consistent in what we're doing? So smaller projects followed by medium, followed by larger long-term projects.
So there's a school in the works. Yes. I hear that correctly?
We did.
What's that going to look like? Is it going to be a physical location or a digital type experience?
Well, probably a little bit of combination. The school actually has been around for the last 5 or 6 years. We've been able to partner with some local churches to provide space for that. But last summer, we purchased an office building for a lot of different reasons. One, we wanted to pull some of our administrative offices or all of them out of our Creation Museum. where they're located, because we've always wanted to expand what we have here at the museum. So we purchased that office building. We're going to be able to put our administrative offices there. At the same time, while we have the school, today it is actually first through 12th grade operating a biblical basis. And we have 123 students. And by going into this new building, we should be ready by the end of the fall. Second semester, we'll open it up. We're going to be able to expand in the Northern Kentucky area. And we hope to reach probably 400 to 500 students locally offering that. And then at the moment, we are developing curriculum that is going to be utilized in that school, and it's going to be offered nationwide. So it's just using the information that AIG has, and it's the content that we've had along, but putting it in a biblical curriculum. And so we're excited about that. Some of that could certainly be from a streaming standpoint. Certainly it's going to be in the hard paper copy as well, but it's a curriculum that we're going to use in our own school as well. It's exciting.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, that's really cool. I mean, being a audience member of Answers in Genesis and consuming quite a bit of your content, like, you guys have a gigantic archive to pull from. So
we do. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. So are you familiar with a guy named Vishal Mangalwadi?
I am not. I apologize.
That's okay. He's, he runs a ministry. I can't remember the name of his ministry off the top of my head, but he has a big push of his is to try to get to grow the interest around homeschooling and then get churches to partner, because we have these infrastructures that are sitting vacant and empty 6 days out of the seven any given week. And what would it look like to partner with churches to have these physical locations that homeschool audiences can start incorporating? So it sounds a little bit similar to what you guys are doing, kind of hybrid model of education.
Right, right. I think the other thing that we really stress is that the content and the curriculum is really emphasizing a biblical worldview. And even though there are a lot of schools out there, they don't all follow that biblical worldview. It's really actually a very small percentage. So really was one of the basis for developing our own curriculum, just utilizing what AIG stands for, having the talent to do that, and making certain that that exists in the marketplace.
Yeah. Yeah. That's exciting. That's really cool. I'm going to be interested in that curriculum.
We're developing a little piece at a time. I think some of it's going to be available here in the next 12 months to at least start at some of the younger grades, and we'll continue to expand upon that over the next 3 to 5 years.
Yeah. What are some of the challenges that you guys face from a financial perspective in operating physical attractions like Creation Museum and Ark Encounter? And maybe secondarily to that, you've mentioned, and I think maybe even Mark mentioned, ideas for additional attractions in the future. Are you able to share some of those ideas, or is that still lock and key and not?
No, I think I can share some of it, and some of it isn't as defined maybe as we would like. We know where we're going. That's part of the long-term strategic planning.
Okay.
You know, really the biggest challenge with the attractions is that they're not just this little niche that exists. It's everything that we do is integrated into them. So, you know, a lot of people don't know the size of AIG, but we will typically peak out 1,000 employees, 1,100 employees during the summer months. Some of those are seasonal for the attractions. It's just a large group. So one of the challenges is having enough resources to do everything we want. Just like when COVID hit, shortage of manpower out there, a labor pool in the marketplace. And so those impact us just like anybody else. So how do we still meet the mission and the goal and run the attractions, provide the best guest experience we have and can have, but do it on less individuals participating? So a lot of different things we're doing there. But as I said, there's so many parts of the ministry that are integrated into the attractions, you know, just keeping the grounds phenomenally looking. And I don't know if you've been to either site, but the grounds are just second to none. And we have our own horticulture team. We grow our own plants, some of our trees and smaller items. And we have our zoo. The horticulture provides food for the zoo. We have our own Department of Public Safety. Culinary services, IT, AV, speakers, it just never ends. And so The difficulty here is just we're so multifaceted to try and get a handle on everything and then make certain that we're operating as effectively and efficiently as we can. So, and people are a huge part of that. Again, just having the skill set that's required to exercise all that. And, you know, we even handle or deal with outside vendors. We've even offloaded some of the things we used to do because we can't be the best in everything. There's people that specialize in some of those, but then creating the right relationships with those that you want to work with that share your same values.
Yeah. Well, you talk about that guest experience. That's one of the things that I think Disney has done so well with their locations, their physical attractions. Regardless of what you think about how they're behaving in the last maybe 5 to 10 years from a cultural perspective, you can't argue with the fact that, man, when you go to a Disneyland attraction, the experience is second to none. All that. So how much of that, of knowledge going into, hey, here's what we're competing against, if we want to use traditional business marketing and some of those terms, how do we create something that's on par with that experience for the guests? Because they know this is what we expect, right? This is what we've come to expect from a physical attraction.
Right. Well, you know, in the Christian environment, I hope I don't offend anybody, but often a lot of the things appear to be a little bit cheesy, if you will.
Yes.
And that's the position that AIG has taken. We're never going to be there. We're going to put the best product out there regardless of what we do. In our viewpoint, it will be second to none. So if you were to go onto our site, you're going to find the grounds meticulously groomed. They're going to be exceptionally clean. And we get guest feedback all the time. And those are the comments that come back. If you're going to go into our exhibits, they're going to be the best that are out there. And I know there's been guests, and someone was a former Disney guest that came in, and my wife was talking to him one day at the Ark and just asking feedback, and knowing that he was in that environment previously, his feedback was, this is on par with everything we do at Disney. So we don't see ourselves second to Disney, and we have a different message, and that's what we want to project. Mm-hmm. And we want people that come to our sites to not think they're getting anything second. They're getting the best that's out there, even when you compare it to Disney. That's our position. And we have a biblical message that we're sharing at the same time.
Right. Well, and one of the things that has made that experience, a Disney experience, especially from the attraction perspective, so significant is because I think they've done such an incredible job on the media side and the storytelling side, right? We love to go experience those attractions and engage with characters in the play because we've experienced and seen and consumed story out in the media world, right? And so they've done a really brilliant job, again, regardless of what you think about the messages that they're pushing and promoting right now, they've done an incredible job on the storytelling front and the media front. That then when I go and I experience that in a physical attraction and a physical place, that world comes alive. So are you guys, do you have plans or are you already in the works or doing this already where you're starting to incorporate media to and storytelling to get people excited about what you do through that perspective and then inviting them into these physical attractions where they can live it out and experience it real world.
Yeah. And those are two of the new things that we are focused on. We announced maybe a year ago that down the road, there will be a Tower of Babel. And as we ultimately begin construction on that, and that's still a few years away, most likely, just how we present that, utilizing those techniques that are out there, being a little bit different than maybe what the Christian environment would be used to, providing a dark ride, providing just interactive teaching as opposed to sometimes reading something on a wall. How do you engage the individuals? That's not dedicated to the secular world. We can all use those tools. And in fact, I would say it's so much more beneficial in the Christian worldview to bring that to life. So that's one of the things that we're going to be doing. Another one, we do want to offer, in addition to all the teaching from a traditional standpoint, how do we potentially offer teaching in more of an entertainment standpoint. Can't really get too much into the details to that, but it might involve some fun rides. It might involve just, I don't want to say the words less serious, but the same content just presented in a different manner, maybe focused a little bit more on the younger ages from that standpoint. But yeah, you do have to definitely integrate in what's out there from virtual reality to augmented reality. How do we incorporate those into what we're doing? And we are researching all of that right now. So it's exciting coming into the near future.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and even from a like streaming perspective, are you guys partnering with platforms like Angel Studios to say, hey, we'd like to create kids storytelling content, whether that's animation or otherwise, to get children excited around the stories that we're telling in these attractions?
Right. Right now, from a streaming standpoint, the majority of what we have is our own content. We do partner with some other individuals, but we have a group that is creating a lot of our own content. But we would certainly look at different content that was out there and evaluate it, whether we felt it was appropriate to add to what we have. But we're excited about the streaming site, Answers TV. And we've got a group that's dedicated to creating that content, and they are very talented. So a lot of internal shows that are being developed with our staff. You know, it's a natural progression. A lot of the staff would present as itinerant speakers. Today, it's some of the same content, maybe packaged a little different, film it, and it's exceptionally applicable to what we do today. And it's very family-oriented, a lot of kids-type shows, and ages, all ages can view it. A lot of family content. And then again, what you're going to get is just the biblical truth throughout that. You're not going to get questionable content on what we're streaming. And that's really, we want to be consistent in that. So we have to be a little bit careful that the messages mesh with the message of Answers in Genesis, and hence a lot of the content development ourselves. But we would certainly look at other opportunities as well.
Hmm. Yeah, that's interesting. Well, Scott, this has been really, really a fun conversation. So appreciate you coming on the show and talking about what you guys are doing at Answers in Genesis. If people want to get a hold of you, learn more about Answers in Genesis, how can they do so?
Well, the best way would be to send me an email, and you can reach me at sfetzer@answersingenesis.org. My last name is spelled F-E-T-Z-E-R. So that is sfetzer@answersingenesis.org, and I'll respond back to you, and then we can see about getting in touch as well. I'd be happy awesome. To share anything that we do.
Yeah. And as we wrap up, can I pray for you guys?
Absolutely. Thank you, Zach.
Yeah. Father, we just lift up Scott and Mark and Ken and the leadership team at Answers in Genesis. We thank you so much for, one, their willingness to come on the show and talk about what they're doing. These guys are doing some incredible stuff. I know you're doing some incredible work through this ministry, and just appreciate their willingness to come on and share insights into how they're thinking through some of the stuff we discussed today, from communications to finances to innovation to using new technologies for the sake of your glory, for your name. And just pray that you would guide and lead and give them wisdom and direction as they continue to lead this organization, and ask that you would continue to bless this ministry and go before them and use them to speak truth in a world that doesn't seem to want to hear it anymore. Lord, we love you so much. Thank you for all you do. Thank you for inviting us into this redemptive story and allowing us to be a part of it, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Scott, thanks so much for being on the show, man. Appreciate it.
All right. Anytime.
Bye.
See you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Ministry Grow Show. If you enjoyed it, we'd appreciate it if you rate and or review us on the iTunes store. And make sure you subscribe so you never miss an episode. If you have a story to share with other ministry directors and pastors, or know someone who would be an incredible guest on the Ministry Grow Show, let us know. We love connecting with ministry executives and sharing their wisdom and insight with our audience. Just send us an email at info@reliantcreative.org. And lastly, if you need help telling your ministry story, we would love to share how we can help in that process. Check out Reliant Creative at reliantcreative.org. See you next time.